And with this story, we'll have a little bit of mood lighting here. Change gears a little bit. Everybody take a good deep breath. Do a story and then we'll kind of slip right into a mirab. The story is already written. The story is in this new book, Memoirs of a Master. It's actually the only story I didn't write. It was written by Caldera, by Jeffrey, at my suggestion. And it was called The Park Bench. I gave him the overview of the story, which is in a large part his story, in a large part all of your story. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the story called The Park Bench. There's a lot of symbols, a lot of metaphors in this story. The story opens by finding the master sitting on the park bench, kind of like what I'm doing right now. It's early morning. The sun has not even come up over the horizon yet. It's still dark out. You know that beautiful time of the morning? It's so quiet and so still, so peaceful. It's when all the noise of mass consciousness is a little bit lower, a little bit quieter. When most other humans aren't out yet, there's not a lot of traffic. It's a nice time of the morning, and if nothing else, you get to watch the sun come up. That's amazing in itself. That cool early morning moment right before the sun starts breaking over the horizon, that's the master's time. That's a beautiful master's time. The master sat on the park bench. He had his coffee, of course, and he had a couple of croissants. It was his quiet time away from the students. He loved the students, loved working with them, but it was taxing and it was draining. There were a lot of frustrations in working with the students because as much as they really wanted their realization, as much there was something holding them back. There was that human part actually trying to hold them back. So it was exhausting at times, even for the master. But on this particular morning, now with the sun just coming up over the horizon, the master knew that it wouldn't be about his students, it wouldn't be about other humans. It would be about his own aspects. His own aspects. He knew it would be a busy morning because this park bench is where all of the master's aspects knew where to find him. They knew if they weren't able to find him anywhere else in the classroom or even in his dreams at night, they could find him at this park bench. This is kind of like when he opened up, when he made himself available to the aspects. And this is where the park bench story takes place. And on this particular day, on the park bench story, the master's darkest aspect, who he just called dark, nothing else, that aspect came in. They didn't speak in words. The master didn't hear dark, you know, as words that were spoken. Because actually dark, this really vile aspect, you could say is so advanced, so psychic, and so really much a part of the master, words are not needed. Some of the other, what I would call lower aspects or less complex aspects, they would talk to the master in words, but dark didn't need words. The master could feel dark coming in because everything got cold. It felt like a vacuum. You could just feel the suction. This dark energy is like that. And immediately with dark coming in, dark started the abusive, again, it wasn't language, but it was feelings that were being conveyed. Dark started saying, you old crazy bastard, here you are sitting on a park bench thinking you're enlightened, thinking that you're teaching others something. That's the way the dark aspects work. They'll degrade you, that make you doubt yourself, that tear you apart. They know the darkest of you. They know how to push the buttons. They know how to degrade you. But the master just sat there. Master took a drink of his coffee, which felt good. It was a little chilly out this morning. Took a drink of the coffee and watched as the glorious rays of the sun started coming up over the horizon. The master wasn't avoiding dark, wasn't just trying to pretend he wasn't there. But the master never let this dark, dark aspect of himself bother him. He was the master. He was the observer of all these stories that were going on, still going on, even though he was the master. Dark continued the abusive behavior, saying, "You just tell yourself you're enlightened, but you're really not. You tell yourself you're better than others, but you're actually worse." Dark said, "I know your history. I know all of the things that you've done wrong. I know all your dirty little secrets. I know, and if I would tell others what I know, they would never, ever go to your school, listen to your words, because you're just a despicable human. And all of this master, all this enlightenment stuff is one huge cover-up for the lie that you are." Perhaps a few of you have even heard those words from time to time. But the master just took a deep breath, had another bite of his croissant, another drink of his coffee, didn't let it faze him one bit. He listened. He felt that he knew dark was there, but he didn't let it faze him one bit. In the story, dark goes on, and in the story, the master was watching the joggers come by, and at some point, a dog comes up with a ball, and the master is completely engaged with everything else and still hearing and seeing dark. The real point of the story is, a very important point, is that we have the master here, and the human, putting it in human terms, would say, "Well, if the master is enlightened, why are all these aspects there? If the master is so enlightened, wouldn't there no longer be any dark? Wouldn't everything be healed?" And the answer is absolutely not. And this is the and this is where each and every one of you are at. You're the master, sitting on the park bench, enjoying a cup of coffee, watching the sun come up, having something to eat, enjoying the little dog, everything. You're feeling in total, what you would call peace, but total freedom. You're the free self. And there's still that human self. We're not trying to negate it. We're not trying to eliminate it. We're not trying to overcome the human or the darkness or any of the other aspects. We're the and. The master sits there, hears them, feels them. The master sits there because he knows that every aspect, dark and light, big and small, they know where to find them. They come there simply to be in the master's light. Even dark comes there. Dark is a tormented part, you could say, from another lifetime. It doesn't matter. It's all in the now, right now. Dark is a real part of the master and of you, as is light, as is the child aspect, as is the religious and spiritual aspect, as is in every aspect. They're all part of you. They're all part of this beautiful story. The realization is that you are the master sitting on the park bench, and the human, and the dark, and the fearful, and the happy, and the creative, and the bored. And when you allow yourself to simply sit here, as the master, as the observer of all these aspects, of all this motion and commotion, of all these parts of the story, trying to find themselves. When you can sit here in this and moment, I am, and I am the master, not trying to get rid of any of the aspects, any of the past or future lives, not trying to reach some peak of enlightenment, simply to be here as the master also. That's when you can take a deep breath and celebrate yourself. That's when you come to the realization, I am and I am. You're the master. You just haven't allowed yourself to sit here and be that. Yes, my dear friends, as much as the master in the book is the master, as much as I am a master, there are still the past and the future aspects. They're still there. They're not really stuck anymore, but they're still there. The master doesn't let that phase him. The master doesn't use that to say, well, then I'm not a master if they're still there. The true master says, I am, and I am. And that's the beauty of the story of the master and the park bench. That ties back into what we talked about at the very beginning of our session today. Time starts to dissolve away, and you sit here as the master in your own life, just observing, not trying to change any of the aspects. You sit here. That in itself has a profound effect on every one of those aspects, whether they're from a past life or a future life. That suddenly puts them as the master sitting on their park bench in their lifetime in that story. Suddenly, it's not just you alone sitting on your park bench as the master, but suddenly every past and every future lifetime becomes the master also. Then everything changes. As Tobias said a long time ago, the future is the past healed. I'll say it a little bit different, that every lifetime realizes the master from this lifetime. It's conveyed out, it's radiated out to every lifetime. And those lifetimes that are stuck in their patterns, that are stuck in their time, suddenly start transforming.